that's it in the way of announcements. If you want to open your Bibles, we are in that book of Acts, and we are in chapter 10, Acts chapter 10, right in the beginning. So if you want to open your Bibles there, and if you have need of a Bible, as always, just raise your hand. One will be handed to you so you can follow along with us. Acts chapter 10. We'll be picking up in verse 1 as we continue to go through the book of Acts. Would you pray with me, please? Father, how grateful we are to be here this morning, to be in your presence, to have had the opportunity to lift our voices in praise to you. God, as we sang, you are worthy of glory and praise. You are worthy of all honor. And it's just an absolute privilege and a joy to be able to sing to you and to just offer our hearts and our lives to you each and every day. And so we just pray as we gather together this morning, Lord, that you would help us and that you would come alongside us. We know that you're here. We know that you dwell inside those who believe in you. And we pray as we study your word, God, that you would speak clearly to us. We pray against any distractions. We pray that our focus would be upon you as we spend this time studying the scriptures. It's so good to read the word, but Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn the word and live the word, that we would be that church, that we would be those Christians, those believers, that in the last days would be faithful to the very end. And so bless this time as we come to just sit at your feet and receive from you. Holy Spirit, have your way. And we pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. This morning I want to talk about unexpected assignments. This morning we're going to partake of communion. It's the first Sunday of the month, already November. And so we're going to kind of start a group of messages as we go through the book or chapter 10 here, just dealing with these unexpected assignments, those opportunities that God gives us to serve him and to be used by him in ways maybe we didn't think or maybe we didn't think we could accomplish, which always reminds me of when I first became a believer at the church I was saved at. I was saved at a Calvary Chapel, and my wife and I both wanted to participate in couples ministry. And so they had what they called a leadership meeting for the couples ministry. Now, I was a new believer. I've probably only been a believer for about 6 months. So when I think of the word leadership at that time in my life, I thought, someone who is perfect. So I really was just kind of going along with this whole thing. It's like, well, they're never going to choose us because I'm far from perfect, right? So as my wife and I went into this meeting, I don't know, there was probably five or six couples there. And then the couple that was actually leading it had come in. And I was just sitting there going, well, they're going to see us and they're going to say, there's no way you guys can participate in this. But the leadership couple that was in there, the couple that was leading it, are dear friends of ours now. And when they came in, they were kind of arguing with each other on the way in. And as they were walking in, I thought, maybe I will qualify for this this opportunity. And so it was just a blessing to be able to serve in that way. But having that idea that leadership had to be perfect, it was an unexpected assignment. I was like, there's no way I could participate in this. And maybe you've experienced that yourself in your life. Sometimes God calls us to something that just is from left field. And that's always a good thing because that's when God can use you the most. And then one other story, my first trip over to Haiti with Suzelle and another gentleman, as we were just going there to see things, I had the opportunity to share a message with some of the Bible college students at the Calvary Chapel Bible College in Haiti, in Port-au-Prince. And I had prepared a message out of 2 Timothy chapter 4, you know, be ready in season and out of season. And so I thought, oh, this is going to be so encouraging for these young pastors, right? So we get to the Bible college, and I got pulled aside with the leader of the college. And he goes, so you're gonna share from the Bible. I go, oh, yeah, I've prepared a message out of 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's going to be very encouraging. Oh, 2 Timothy, that's perfect. We just finished up 1 Timothy. So if you could teach the entire book of 2 Timothy to them, that would be wonderful. And in my mind, I'm going, what? the whole book? I said, no, you don't understand. I've prepared a message out of 2 Timothy chapter 4. He's like, oh, no, it'll be great. They'll love it. And you want to talk about praying a Nehemiah prayer? I'm like, Lord, this is definitely an unexpected assignment. But to be honest with you, as I read the scriptures and shared with those, I think it was six or seven young Haitian pastors that were going to be leaders in their towns. They were going to go back and start churches. It was one of the greatest blessings of my entire life. For 2.5 hours, we read through the scriptures and just shared. I shared from the scriptures, and it was absolutely astonishing. And it was just kind of interesting to me that God had prepared me to be ready in season and out of season in chapter 4. Well, I mean, what am I going to say? No. It's like, I'm not going to do that. No. Guys, we got to be ready. We got to be ready for those unexpected assignments that God gives to us as believers. And in chapter 10, there's so many unexpected assignments that are going to show up here. We're only going to look at the first 8 verses this morning. But I mean, to see what God is doing, because in chapter 10, God is opening up the gospel to the Gentiles. Up until this point, it's been a Jewish religion. It's been a Jewish faith. Jews were coming to faith in Christ. But now this opportunity that it was going to come and be given to the Gentiles, for the Jew, that was a trouble. We'll see that. For Peter, that was a struggle, and God used that. And so that's what we want to look at. That's what we want to think about this morning, is these opportunities that God gives us that are maybe unexpected. Maybe God's asking you to do something that you don't feel qualified for. Here's the thing. Maybe you're not. You probably aren't. But God wants to use you. Because I believe when God uses those things that are ill-equipped, God gets the greatest amount of glory. Wouldn't you agree with that? It's hard for you to do something for the Lord that you're not equipped for and say, I took all credit for that. It's impossible. God does it. So we need to see this in this context as we look at this man's life, Cornelius. Now we'll see that Cornelius is a centurion. I mean, he's a man of authority. He's a leader. And he's someone that God decides to use. I believe God picked Cornelius to work in the life of Peter. And sometimes God does that. He picks certain people to work on us in the same way. So look with me, if you will, in chapter 10 of Acts, in the first verse, it says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the 9th hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called 2 of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Now, when we look at the life of Cornelius, and we think about the experience that he's having. I don't know if you get it when you maybe just read it for the first time. Maybe this is the first time you've heard this. But Cornelius is a man that is seeking God. He's a man that is wanting to live right. He's a man that's devout. He's a man of prayer. He's a man of generosity. But the thing that he's missing is a relationship with God. A relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And the thing of this is, he's doing all the right things, but he's not doing them with the right heart, right? He's living this religion, if you will. But Cornelius has put himself in a position where he's generous, where he's devout. He's again, the word devout means religious. He means, you know, faithful, reverent. And he's generous to giving, and he's a man of prayer. But do you understand that when you pray outside of the authority of Jesus Christ, your prayers are hindered? Because we got to pray in the power of Jesus. We got to pray in the power that Jesus has given to us. So for Cornelius, his prayers were bouncing off the ceiling. For Cornelius, his prayers were not guaranteed. Now, my friends, when you pray to God, is your prayer with confidence? Do you pray with confidence? the confidence that Christ has given to you. I believe Cornelius was a man of prayer. He prayed always, religiously. We're going to see that in a minute. But he's a man that's praying and hoping for the answers. We can't be people that are praying and hoping for the answers. We need to be praying and believing for the answers. We need to have that kind of faith that Jesus Christ has given us the authority to enter into the Holy of Holies, that if our life is lined up to God, if we are giving our heart and life and commitment to the Lord, that when we pray, what does Jesus say? If you pray according to my will, you will receive it. It's a prayer that's believing. Now, let's never forget that we sometimes pray amiss, right? We sometimes pray and we don't get the answer that we want. But in prayer, I believe the Holy Spirit has an opportunity to guide and direct our prayers. There may be something here this morning that you've been praying for a long time, that you continually pray. And don't you sometimes get to the place where you go, Lord, are you tired of hearing me ask for this? Don't give up. I want to encourage you to continue to pray, continue to ask God, your will be done, not mine. We remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane as he prayed for this cup to pass from him, as he prayed that he wouldn't have to go to the cross. But what did he say? Not my will, your will be done. So in our prayers, we're on our knees, we're believing by faith, we're having that boldness and that confidence to enter into his presence, and we must ask, but also be willing to listen and to be guided in our prayers. How many of us have prayed for something for a season only to find our prayers be redirected, only to find our prayers be guided differently in the end, and then realize, God, your way was right. Your way was right. And I just, so stick it out. Don't give up. Don't give up. God is well pleased to hear from you. So keep praying. And that's what it was for Cornelius. He was a man. Notice it says in verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. Now, a centurion was a man that was in charge or the commander of 100 Roman soldiers. So he's a man of authority. He's used to giving directions. He's used to giving instructions that people will follow. So I look at this as we're seeing, again, the gospel opening up to the Gentiles. I see this as a way for us to look at what salvation means, what salvation truly means. Because I wrote down in my notes, because, again, Cornelius had a position. He was a leader. He had authority. He was used to giving instructions, not taking instructions. And I reminded myself this morning, your position will not get you into heaven. He was used to, again, giving instructions, telling people what to do, and they would do it. We can never rest or be still or be confident in our position. And when I say that, I think about, I mean, we live in America, right? America's a wonderful, one of the great, it is the greatest country in all the world. Not without its problems, okay? We don't want to have an argument about it. We got our issues, but it's a great country. But I sometimes feel like as believers living in America, we can get ourselves in a position where we are not honoring the Lord, that we're not living right for God. We are resting on our place. We're resting on our position as Americans. But we need to be on our knees. We need to be reliant upon God. I am thankful to be born in America. As I was talking to someone this morning about what's going on in Haiti, I am thankful to be born in America. But with that privilege becomes responsibility. With this blessing that we live in America, we should have an opportunity and an easier time sharing the gospel and being impactful in people's lives. Who are you impacting? Who are you pouring into? Mom and dad, pour into your kids. If you don't have children, pour into somebody. This next generation is vital to be pouring into the truth of what the Word of God says. Because we live in days where truth is very gray. And we are living in times where people are making up their own truth. It is our job to pour into people. And so make sure you take your position and take it rightfully. Cornelius was, a centurion. And it's interesting in the Bible how many times God used a centurion. And I want to just bring it to you. It was a centurion who caused Jesus to marvel when he said this. Should be overhead. Yes. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, the centurion says to Jesus, but say the word and my servant will be healed. The centurion comes to Jesus, hears that Jesus is a healer, comes to Jesus, says, can you come to my house and heal my servant? And Jesus says, yes, let's go. And he goes, listen, I'm not even worthy for you to enter my house. You just say the word and I know he'll be healed. Two verses later, Jesus says, I have never seen such great faith, not even in Israel. You know how much of an insult that must have been to his 12 followers at the moment? I haven't seen such great faith, not even in the people that I'm ministering to. We have to believe that Jesus can say the word. We need to believe that Jesus can speak into our situations and change it. Do you have that kind of faith in your Savior? You know, the flesh is so wicked that we just sometimes give up. We sometimes forget, oh, this is just the way it is. This is just the life I have. No. If there's something going on in your life, either it's at work, it's a relationship, it's something, make sure you bring it and believe that Jesus, you can make a change. Just say the word, Jesus. That kind of faith, that kind of belief. The next centurion says this. So when the centurions and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened when Jesus was crucified, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. It's amazing to me that God uses centurions in such a powerful way. They, again, were people of authority. They were people of power, but they were also willing to recognize what was going on in front of him. And it's the same thing for Cornelius. A man, again in verse 2, devout, who feared God and is with his whole household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Wouldn't you read that verse and think he's a believer? Wouldn't you think that? He's not a believer. He's not a believer in Jesus Christ. He's a believer in religion. He's trying to follow the Jewish traditions and the Jewish religion. He's not having a relationship with Jesus. And so it reminds us that all these things are good things, but don't rely upon those. Don't rely. You should be doing these. We should be doing these. But don't you believe that even the world can do these things? A non-believer can pray to God, though they don't know who he is. They're just hoping he's up there. They're just hoping he's going to answer their prayers. But not for us who believe. When we pray, we're praying in Jesus' name to God, who we know will answer our prayers. It's a totally different thing. And so not only is it your position that doesn't get you into heaven, the second thing I wrote, because of all these things, your religion won't get you into heaven. Don't ever think, well, I pray every day. Well, I read my Bible every day. Well, I do my devotion every day. Well, I'm nice to people every day. Don't ever think that's enough to get you to heaven. Because those are things that we should be doing because we're going to heaven. Because we're going to heaven, we should be generous people. And maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, well, I don't have enough to be generous. Listen, it doesn't have to be monetary to be generous. It doesn't have to be something expensive to be generous. Sometimes it's just saying a kind word to someone. Sometimes it's just spending time sitting down and talking with someone and to hear what's going on in their lives. Generosity can come in many forms. We need to realize that. Is your relationship with God, in your mind, is it something that's settled because of what Jesus has done? Or is it something you're working at? Is it something you're trying real hard to say, God, please, be nice to me, be happy with me? Listen, I can tell you, I stand here before you sometimes going, God, why did you even want to save me? Because I know my heart. I know the intents of my heart. None of us in here are perfect. We have to rest on the fact that it's because of what Jesus has done upon the cross that we have right relationship with God. You're going to mess up. I messed up this morning. You're going to mess up today. We're going to mess up this afternoon. I'm sure when I get on the Top Golf thing and I miss that first ball and look like an idiot, something's going to go through my head that I'm not going to be happy about. We're going to mess up. That's who we are. But thankfully, we're open to the truth of who Jesus is. And because of that, we have salvation. As I said, I think it was last week I said it, there's people in the body of Christ who aren't sure they're going to heaven. They think, they hope they're going to get there. I stand before you knowing I'm going to get there. I know I'm going to go to heaven because of what Jesus did. Thank God my heart, my eyes and my heart have been open to that truth. Otherwise, I'd have to strive for it. I could never do enough devotions to get to heaven. I could never pray enough prayers to get to heaven. There's not enough good that any of us could do to get us to heaven. The only way this centurion could get to heaven outside of Christ would be if he lived the perfect life. And we know he wasn't perfect. We know he wasn't perfect. Look what it says in verse 3. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius, calling him by name. Now, this was not a physical manifestation of an angel. It was a vision. It was this third hour, is that what it says? The ninth hour. That's 3 p.m. in the afternoon. In Jerusalem, at those particular hours, those were hours of prayer. Okay, we see it time and time again. Peter and John went into the temple, and that lame man was at the gate. That was the third hour. They were going to pray. So Cornelius, in the ninth hour at 3 p.m., was in prayer. And that's what he's saying. Basically, he's what he's saying. In the ninth hour of the day, you could put in there at prayer, he saw clearly in a vision. What's interesting to me is that because of the things he was doing, that his heart was to do right before God, God gives him some insight. So this is very clear for all of us here this morning to do right, to put yourself in a position to receive revelation from God. God's not going to give you necessarily a revelation if you're not living right. I believe this man was living right, seeking God, had a heart for God, had a heart for his family, and he's spending time in prayer. And in this time of prayer is set the stage that he has this vision of an angel. And he calls him by name. None of us can tell me what if you're in time of prayer and someone calls your name, you're not going to wake up, right? I mean, if I'm praying, Lord, please, Rob, ooh. Yes, sir. What, Lord? And so his heart was in the right place. He was positioned right so that God opened up this opportunity for him to receive this vision. He was open to it. And here's the thing. If you're living right, you're going to be open to the guidance and direction of God. It's just the way it is. I'm not saying you're going to live perfect. I'm just saying be a person of prayer, be generous, and be committed to the Lord. And he'll open those opportunities for you. If you seek God truly with all your heart, he will reveal that to you. He'll show that to you. And notice in verse 4, though, it says, and when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? This is why I believe, another reason I believe, he's not saved. He was fearful of this vision. He was afraid of this. As believers, the Holy Spirit dwells in all of us. We have the greatest power in all the world. We shouldn't have to be afraid of anything because we have God in us. Do you have that kind of assurance and confidence that God is with you? You know, I think about, you know, all these things. I don't know what they call them. You know, these shows on TV about demonic things. And what are the dead people? What do they call dead people? What is it? Zombies. I'm so sick of seeing zombies. What is everybody's infatuation with zombies? And it's like, stop with the zombies, the commercials of the zombies. Mucinex, zombies. I mean, it's like, come on. So tired. Zombies. And I just look at it, and I'm not afraid of the devil. I know his destination. I know where he's going. He can mess with me. He can fool with me. He can try to lie to me. But I just tell him, get thee behind me, Satan. Because the Holy Spirit is in you and in all of us, that we don't have to be afraid of anything. Step out under God's guidance, under God's will, and you are going to take care of whatever's going on in your life. Whatever it is that's scaring you, whatever it is that's causing that anxiety or depression in your life, give it to God. And rely upon the strength of the Holy Spirit. I would encourage all of us here right now to think of something that's really got us knotted up or stressed out, and to say, God, I'm going to give this to you every single day this week. I'm going to give this over to you and say, God, help me take care of this. Whether it is a fear, whether it is anxiety, whether it is unassurance, whatever it may be, give it to the Lord. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We are greater than the devil. The only authority the devil has over your life is what you let him have. So don't let him have any of it. Don't let him have any of it. Notice what it says in verse 5. After Cornelius is afraid and says, "What is it, Lord?" He said, in verse 4. So he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God." Cornelius is not yet saved, but God's heart and his eyes are upon this man. Don't miss that. The things that Cornelius was doing, though he was still in a religious mode, God still saw it. And can you imagine if you're in prayer and an angel says to you, "Man, God's been hearing your prayers. God's been seeing your faithfulness. God's been seeing..." I mean, that's just got to be so encouraging to Cornelius, who's just a man seeking after God. Guys, we all want to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Well done. We should be able to hear those every single day. That God would say to us, "Well done. You did good today." Instead of feeling like we got beat up all day. No. Your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial before God. Now, look at verse 5. "Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea." Look at this. "He will tell you what you must do." Sorry. "He will tell you what you must do." Go find this man, Peter. He will tell you what you must do. In my mind, I think Cornelius would think, "What more do you want me to do, Lord?" I mean, wouldn't you say he's living a good life? He's devout. He's a praying man. And he's generous. What more does God want? What more could he want? And this verse also tells me that he's not saved, because what he needs to do is put his hope and trust in who? In Jesus Christ. If Cornelius was saved, why would he need to go speak to Peter? Why in the world would he need to go speak to Peter? His position wouldn't get him to heaven. His religion wouldn't get him to heaven. His actions won't get him to heaven. Everything that we do has nothing to do with getting us to heaven, does it? Everything that we do has everything to do with God rewarding us for the good works that we've done under his authority. So yes, we should be people of prayer. Yes, we should be generous. Yes, we should be devout, and we should be living for God. But it has nothing to do with salvation. That was settled upon the cross. Wednesday night I was at a church service, and I was listening to a pastor, and it was just... You know, as a pastor, you know these things, but to hear it from someone else, it was so refreshing. And the pastor just mentioned that when Jesus was on the cross, he looked up to heaven and he says, "It is finished. It is finished." If we, for one moment, think there's more that we can do to add to what is finished, do you know that's called sin? To think we could do anything to make the salvation that was provided to us through Christ's sacrifice better, that's sin. That's saying that it wasn't enough. So as believers, we should rest in the fact that Jesus gets us to heaven. And enjoy. Again, prayer should be something that you enjoy doing, not something you have to do. Right? You should want to pray. You should want to be generous. You know, we put a box in the back for this church because it should be you know, it shouldn't be a pressure thing. If you want to give to God, give to God. Do it with a right heart. We would love it if you did. But we're not going to force anybody to do it. We're not going to applaud those who give more than others. We're going to applaud everyone who just generously gives to the ministry or gives to the works of God. And you know, for Cornelius, he was given to the church. Jews in those days were giving up to 30% of what they made. They were very generous people. And so Cornelius was trying to mimic that. He was trying to be generous. We should be the most generous people on the planet. As believers, the church should be the place that people come to get the help, not the government. That's crazy. It's a slap in the church's face that the government is actually trying to meet needs in our country. It should be the church. It should be the place where God's people are, generous people willing to help. Who do you know in your life that needs help, that needs assistance? Certainly pray for them, but also consider meeting that need. When it talks about alms, he says in verse 2, who gave alms generously, that means going above and beyond. He was giving to the church, but he also was giving outside the church. Very generous person. We need to be known as people that are generous. Smart, don't get people to take advantage of you, but be someone that's generous. I think it's important. It's what God wants us to be. I wrote this down. Whenever there is anyone who seeks after God, they will hear the gospel of the grace of God, and God will see that he receives it. This verse has been always one of my favorite verses in Jeremiah. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Seeking God with all our heart. This is a promise out of the Word of God that if you truly seek after God, he'll reveal himself to you. He says, you just look for me and I'll make sure you find me and I'll make sure I'm provided for you. That's the beauty of this God that we serve. That we, if we would just seek him with all of our heart. What does that mean to seek with all of your heart? It means to give it your best. I always like to compare how much I seek God to how much I'm seeking other things in my life. Like seeking a paycheck. Like seeking a relationship. Like seeking whatever. Is God the thing that you're seeking the most? He's the one that can make the difference. The greatest difference. So we should be seeking after him. And Cornelius was a man that was seeking. You know, there's people that say, well, what about the people that never hear the gospel? What's God going to do with them? You know what I like to say? That's up to God. And I think he's a gracious God. I think he's a God that makes sure that every single person that walks on the planet will understand the salvation plan of his son. That's who God is. So the gospel will get to everyone who seeks after him. Cornelius needed a relationship with Jesus. He didn't need a religion. Cornelius needed to accept Jesus as Savior. So that's why this angel says to him, go to Peter. He will tell you what you must do. And Peter will do that later on in this chapter and actually in chapter 11. And then the last thing, and then we're going to partake of communion. The last thing in verse 7. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. Now look at this. So when he explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Cornelius was such a man after God's heart that he made sure he poured into his family and his friends. And that's so important. That as believers, we are pouring into others. Notice it says, he explained everything to them. He sat down and said, I just had an encounter with God. I just had something that happened to me. God spoke to me very clearly. And I love the obedience of Cornelius. As he says, immediately, he did that. He did what the angel told him to do. Guys, there has to be a response when God speaks to us that must be immediate. Don't delay. When you know God has spoken something to you, do it. Cornelius told these guys to go and to get this man named Peter. What's interesting to me, though he used these men to go get Peter, Ultimately, it's going to be Cornelius's choice and his decision to accept Christ into his life. It's every single one of us' responsibility in this room that we're the ones that accept Christ, that you're the ones that have a relationship with God. You can't have a relationship with God through someone else, through another organization, through another person, through your family. You have to have a relationship with him yourself. And when I talk about an unexpected assignment, when Cornelius heard this angel tell him to go get Peter, he had to think, why? He had to think, why do I need someone else to tell me? I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like you've done everything right and still bad things happen in your life? Guys, it's an opportunity for us to just continually rely upon God and listen to his still small voice. We are going at such a fast pace in the world that we live in today, we're not taking the time to slow down. To slow down and listen to the Lord. I would imagine most of us in this room have a very full itinerary for next week. And God is trying to get in there. God is trying to speak to you. Make sure you're giving God time. And as I say this, I think about parents with kids, and how much time do you have by yourself? Right? Some of you in this room have four kids, plus a husband, Leslie Duffy. It's a lot of responsibility. It's a lot of things going on. I know my wife's calendar. I have my wife's calendar. I look at her calendar. I start to sweat when I see her calendar. Every hour, something to do. How she finds the time to do the things that she does to bless her clients, to this day amazes me. And if we could just find the time, take the time to allow God to speak to us. I don't care where it is. On your ride to work, on your way back from work, if you take a break. Do they still have breaks today when you work somewhere? When I first had my first job, we had two breaks. A 10:15 break and a 3 o'clock break. Does anybody do that anymore? No. It's against the law, by the way. What'd you say? The last thing I want us to think about is Cornelius was a leader. Cornelius was someone of authority. He was used, again, to give instruction. But the greatest instruction we'll see from Cornelius' life is the way he poured into his family, the way he poured into his friends. It'll actually say that when Peter finally comes to the house, that his whole family and all of his invited friends to come and listen to Peter. And the message from Peter is believe in Jesus Christ for the salvation of your sins. And it says the whole family and the whole household accept. That's powerful. And it's something that we have to have on our minds. As I speak to the men in this room, to be leaders in our homes. And that's not an easy thing to do. But to be a leader, to be someone that's a spiritual leader, that's thinking about spiritual things, praying to God, praying for your spouse, praying for your children. And as all believers, we're to be pouring into other people. We all know somebody that needs to have a closer relationship with Christ. Every single one of us in this room do. Whether we embrace that and we're working on that, or whether we're avoiding it, is the question. Who are you pouring into? Cornelius, as a leader, is so concerned about his family. It's so powerful. And we need to be mindful of our families, and we need to be mindful of our loved ones and the people out there in this world that are in our lives that need to know the love of Christ. I am so fearful that when Jesus returns, there's going to be people here that don't know the truth. That has to be on the forefront of our minds. And we as believers can show them the peace that they can have if they have a relationship with God. God will give us all unexpected assignments. The question is, will we receive them, will we accept them, and will we fulfill them? I pray we do. I pray we're like Cornelius, ready to receive, ready to do exactly as the Spirit tells us.